الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Inshallah, today we'll be covering the 21st juz. The juz starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us that prayer is something that prevents individuals from things which are indecent or obscene, and also from doing evil things. And sometimes people have this question that I'm praying, but I still do wrong things. So does that contravene this verse? The answer is that prayer, it doesn't contravene the verse. The problem is not with the prayer, the problem is with how we are praying it. If prayer is prayed properly, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest part of prayer is bereft of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mostly just motions. Then the Prophet ﷺ is informed to make da'wah in a good way. And we're told that, you know, this is the general operative, except for those people who do zulm, and with them you can escalate the matter. Then we're told that the book was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ the same way it was revealed to the messengers that came before the Prophet ﷺ. And those that were knowledgeable people from the previous nations, they believe in it. And there are also people from the Quraysh and the Meccans, they also believed in it. And then it points out how the Prophet ﷺ was not a learned man. He was absolutely unlettered. He neither knew how to read nor write. And he grew up in front of them. So how could he magically just one day come up with this book, which was the epitome of Arabic literature? And when they... Then it talks about how you know, the disbelievers, they ask for a sign and they try to hasten the punishment. And the fact of the matter is that it will come in due time. And on top of that, not only will they have to face the punishment, they will also have to go to hell where the punishment will encompass them from all sides. Then we're told how the earth is wide, so we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people make the excuse that, you know, I'm in such and such circumstance, and that's why I can't worship Allah. And I mean, there's always the option of hijrah, and that every soul will taste death. And the people who believe and do good deeds, they will have paradise. And then we're reminded that how many an animal there is in the world that you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that provides for them. And similarly, he spreads his provisions for his slaves. And he's able to do so because he's the one who created everything and subjugated everything around us for us. And the people who disbelieve, you know, at a certain level, they also know that he is the creator and that he is the one that sends down the rain. And what is this world except for lahu wa lahu? You know, it's just vanity and play. And the real thing is the akhirah. That's the place that is abiding. And then it points out how there are people being picked off all around the Meccans while they remain safe in the sanctuary. I mean, that should be a sign for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting them. And yet they don't acknowledge the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then who is worse than the person who lies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or who denies the truth? And then the surah ends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that whosoever strives in the way of Allah, that he will surely guide him to his ways. Next, we start Surah Al-Rum. And then here it begins with a prophecy about how the Romans, who happened to be people of the book, would be defeated by the Persians, who were idolaters. And after that, they would be victorious over the Persians. And that actually came to pass. And then the question is asked that don't people ponder about themselves and the world around them, and that everything around us has a limited term. You know, we know that everything is going to end. And so what's going to happen after the end? Then after that, there will be meeting with Allah. And don't they see what happened to the nations past? Then we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated creation and how he will return them. And the ones that they make partners will not be able to intercede on their behalf in the akhirah. And the believers will be enjoying, while that these people will be in punishment. So glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, and praise be to him. And he is the one who takes the living out of the dead and the dead out of the living. And he has so many signs. And so the next whole page goes over all these different signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that he took dirt, which is motionless and dead, and he made people out of that, you know, who are walking around. He made spouses for us that we derive peace from. And he made love between our hearts. He looked at the creation of the heavens and the earth and the difference in people's languages and colors. Look at our sleeping at night and dreaming and going around in the day looking for provision. Look at the lightning in the sky and the rain that falls down from the heavens. I mean, look how the earth and the skies are held up. You know, everything is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, so we, and the implications show, should we, show, so should we be in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Him. And then he strikes a parable that if any one of us had a slave, we would never make a slave equal to ourselves in provision. Then the question is, how can you do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you take a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to put him at this, at Godhead? If it's good enough for the goose, then it should be good enough for the gander. So people have this double standard when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the problem is that they follow their desires. And then we're reminded the sound nature of man is to follow the Hanif way, and that's the way of Ibrahim, and that is the way to worship one Allah. And people made their religion into sects. And when they made them into these sects, each of these groups are happy with their own sect. And then it talks about how man's messed up psychology, that when good comes to him, he gets happy and, you know, he is deluded. And they start associating partners with Allah. And, but when difficulty comes, they fall into despair. And that's the times that they actually call, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at those times. But when times get good, then they forget him. Then we ask, don't you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides? So if Allah provides, you should give other people their rights. And we're told that the interest that people are thinking, that they think that is increasing their wealth, but it does not increase with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the zakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, that is the one that will be multiplied. And then we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He provided us, and He's the one who will give us death, and He will resurrect us. Is there any of these so-called partners that can do any of that? And then we're told about why there is evil in the world, and the reason is not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, puts evil in there. And you know, this is from philosophical terms that people talk about the quote-unquote problem of evil. The answer is that ظَهْرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. The reason that there's evil in the world is because people do bad things. And people should get their act straight. Look at what happened to the past nations. And people are told to rectify their affairs before it's too late. And then we're told that there were prophets that were sent to nations before. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took revenge on behalf of those messengers and those prophets because He's the one who helps the believers. Then we're told how the wind is from amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, with it also comes the rain. And this gives life to the dead earth. With it also the boats sail in the seas. However, there's a strong wind that is sent and it destroys the crops. Then the same people who took so much benefit from the wind and all of those other blessings, they become ungrateful and they forget all of that. And then the Prophet ﷺ is just, you know, reminded that you can't make the person who's deaf hear, and you can't make the person who's blind see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us how He created us in weakness. When we were children, we couldn't do anything for ourselves. Then He made us strong, and then He will return us to weakness. And that's something that we see in our own age. And then we'll be resurrected. And then at that time, you know, disbelievers will feel like, you know, it was just like an hour. And on that day, excuses will be for no avail. However, the disbelievers, the problem with them is they don't avail from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And so the Prophet ﷺ is told, that don't let the believers, disbelievers shake you up. Then we start Surah Al-Luqman, and it starts by talking about the people who are guided and successful are the ones who pray, who give zakah, and who believe in the hereafter. Then it talks about the impermissibility of music. Then it mentions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens without any pillars and put pegs in the earth to stabilize it, and He spread out animals, and He sends down the rain. And this is all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the idea is that can anyone create anything like that? And then we're told about Luqman alayhi salam, and he was given wisdom to be thankful. And the way that he advised his son, And he would address him with love and in a gentle and beautiful manner. And this is the way that we should explain to our children instead of being harsh. So he would advise his sons not to make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to do shirk. That you should be grateful to your parents, particularly your mother, because she went through so much difficulty, especially when she was bearing him. But you should not follow your parents if they call you to disobedience, meaning the ultimate obedience is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he advises him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can bring out even like an iota, the smallest amount of evil, even if it's hidden somewhere, he can bring it out. So we should be very careful and live a life of taqwa. And he tells them to pray and enjoin good and forbid evil and to be patient, and tells them not to be arrogant by turning away from people haughtily or walking haughtily in the earth, and that you should speak in a soft tone. So he taught him ibadat, he rectified his aqidah, and he taught him akhlaq. And these are some of the main categories that we need to impart to our children. Then we're reminded how Allah has given us so many blessings, and yet people go about arguing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any knowledge. And it's really without knowledge, because you can't prove that God does not exist. There's what they call like non-falsifiable. So the claim is they might try to advance that you have no proof that he does exist, but you can't prove that something is not. And so you have no knowledge, and yet you take all the benefits from Allah, but then you don't want to even acknowledge that he's there. And people instead choose to follow the way of their forefathers. They follow the shayateen. And so the Prophet was told not to be grieved by their disbelief, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. And they have a little bit of respite here, but then they'll have to face what they have to face. And we're told that if all the trees in the earth were pens and the seven seas were being made into ink, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not come to an end and not be expended. And that our creation and resurrection, like for all of humanity, it's equal to the creation and resurrection of a single person. I mean, for Allah to do it for one person, for all of humanity, it's just the same thing. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the night into the day, and how he controls the sun and the moon and allows the boats to go sailing. And those are the same boats that if a person was in and they were taken by a wave to be drowned, they would make dua sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they are saved, then some of them are moderate while others become ungrateful. And they should be afraid of the day that where no one will benefit anyone. And then we're told about the five things which are only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those are the final hour, when the rain will come down. And this is actually true, I mean, scientifically speaking, that no one can 100% predict the rain, because you'd have to have exact knowledge about every cubic meter of atmosphere, and no one can do that. And what is in the womb, no one knows except for Allah. And what tomorrow holds in terms of a person earning, what we will earn tomorrow, no one knows. And where a person will die, no one knows. Then we start Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. And this talks about how the book has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then people think that it's been concocted. But actually, it's just a book to warn us so that we can be guided. And he's the one who created the heavens and the earth, and he settled over his arsh. And there's no intercessor besides him. And he's the one who determines and runs everything, and all matters return to him. And then he talks about the creation of man, when he made him from basically mud in a vile fluid, and then how he became someone who can see and hear. And the same being now turns against God. I mean, how will it be when the angel of death comes to take their soul? And how will it be when they'll be hanging their heads, accepting their mistakes in the hereafter, and then desiring to return so that they can do good deeds? But it's too late. If Allah wanted, he could have united everyone on Hidayah. However, this is a test, and this life is a test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew ahead of time that there was people who were going to fail the test, and that's why there was people who were going to fail heaven, and there were people who were going to fail hell. Compare this with the believers, that when they hear the verses, they fall in sajda, and these are the people who separate their beds, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hope, in fear and in desire. And no one knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them from the light of the eyes. So who's more oppressive than the one who, when they're even given this reminder, they still turn away? And then the Prophet ﷺ is not told not to doubt about the meeting of Musa ﷺ, which came to pass on Isra, and that there was righteous imams amongst the Bani Israel. And then we're finally told, don't you see how many people were destroyed before you? And now you're walking in their same living areas and spaces. And don't you see how the dead earth is revived? And these people, they ask, when is the last day? But you know, it's going to come, and when it comes, it'll be too late to believe. So, you know, just wait. And then the last surah in this juz, the Surah Al-Ahzab, we're told don't follow the disbelievers and the hypocrites, but we should follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rely on Him. And the women that people do zihara, and zihara was when basically they used to say to their wives that you are to me like the back of my mother, make it basically impermissible for them to have relationships with their wife. They said, no, these women are not your mothers, number one. And number two, adoption was abolished, and that, you know, that children have their own lineage, and you have to preserve that lineage. You should call them by their father's name. I mean, you can raise them, and you can take care of them. That's kafala, but that's very different from adoption. And we're told how Rasulullah is closer to us than our own selves, and how his wives are our mothers. And that's where we know that they're the mothers of the believers. And the covenant that he took from the five mighty messengers to convey the message and to support each other. And then he goes into a discussion of the Battle of the Ditch, when things were so bad that the hearts were reaching the throats. But then he helped the believers with a windstorm that he sent against them. And this is in the fifth year of Hijri, in the angels. And the Munafiqeen's hypocrisy came out, as it tends to do. You know, they had made a covenant not to flee, but then they tried to. And, you know, what are they going to flee from? Are they going to flee from death? Are they going to flee from fighting? And they tried to hold back other people too. And it just talks about how they're so greedy. Like when it comes to the spoils, the Muslims win, they're all in it. And they're greedy to try to get the spoils of war. But when fighting comes, you know, they try to get out of it. And they're always just flip-flopping. Compare this to the Prophet ﷺ, لَقَدْ كَانَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that he's a role model for us. And the Sahaba are the exact opposite. When the covenant was taken from them, they stuck to the covenant. And some of them have already fulfilled their vow, meaning they've already been martyred. And some of them are waiting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repelled them, the Muslims, you know, by and large, didn't even have to fight on the Battle of Khandaq. And this was in the Battle of the Ditch. And this is when, you know, the whole people had gathered against them. They just wanted to wipe them out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. And then it talks about how the Banu Qurayza, who had a covenant with the Muslims, and these were Jews, they basically engaged in sedition and undermined the state, and they were treacherous. And so in recompense for breaking that, they were actually killed and taken as prisoners, and their lands were inherited by the believers. That ends the 21st juz. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.